Hi, everybody. I'm here at BotCom in Chicago, right outside of Chicago at St. Charles. And we're here at the Pheasant Run and
GeekCast Radio Network.
GeekCast Radio Network.
Thank you so much.
You're back.
Welcome to an all-new generation of ToyCast as we get the origins of any and all toy fans that we can. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and today's featured guest, well, he, first of all, we have to thank him for his service. He loves Optimus Prime. He is a patriot. He was on All Things Transformers for his Transformers origins, so now we're going to talk toys with none other than that toy hacking Patriot Prime.
That'd be toy hacking. Hooah!
Okay, well, yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so Patriot Prime is here on ToyCast. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Glad to have you, or have me.
I'm used to doing these things. This is going to be good, folks.
Yeah, and I'm not even drinking. It's a.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no, it's. So we have 42 questions all about toy collecting. We usually break it up between question 20 and 21 for an ad break and all that other good stuff. And let's get right to it. So what is or was the first toy you remember having as a kid?
First toy I remember having as a kid. I would have to say the Shogun Warriors Godzilla.
Really?
Yep.
Cool.
I broke the damn lever on the back of his neck probably 5 minutes after opening him out of the box.
Isn't that the way, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah. Boxes. I mean,
I've had a lot more, but that's just always the one that pops into my head.
Yeah. 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 Boxes. Sometimes with what the toy companies do with boxes back then and now, it's confusing as all hell. Like, literally, I love the toy itself, but I hate his package. Animated Blitzwing. In order for me to get him out of the tie nearly ripped my entire fingernail off. I'm like, oh my God, is this toy really worth this much?
Well, I didn't break it, take it out of the package. I mean,
No. Yeah, no, I know. But like for me, like my thing was the packaging. It wasn't the toy itself. Yeah.
Well, have you opened any toys lately that have the damn screws through the cardboard?
No, I haven't, but that could, yeah.
I have opened a few for Dylan. They got, and so you got your zip ties, and then you got these plastic discs, and then there's a screw that goes up through the disc. Not like a screw you could take off with your finger. No, you got to find the Phillips head screwdriver.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly why I stick with Funko Pops. Was there a particular adult who was supportive of you playing with toys as a kid? Was there anyone who was unsupportive?
Oh, that was my grandparents on my father's side. They're the ones that bought me all the toys. Most of my Transformer collection back when I was a kid was from them.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. What types of toys were your favorites to play with?
Oh, action figures, of course. Transformers. I had some He-Man, Star Wars, and tons of Star Wars figures. That was like my main thing as a kid, playing with was all the Star Wars figures. That's about it. That's like the main ones I remember. Yeah. Hot Wheels, of course.
Yeah. So would you say that the Star Wars and the Transformers were the ones that stood out more than any of the others?
Oh, without a doubt. And then, of course, Transformers took over, and now my Star Wars is packed away.
Yeah. Investment for a rainy day, right?
I guess. We're oversaturated with Star Wars right now, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they're everywhere. They're quite literally everywhere. Do you prefer the label of action figures, dolls, toys, or other labels?
Action figures all the way.
Yep. Good guys or bad guys, which were your favorite toys to play with the most?
Bad guys, and still are. The bad guys always had the coolest stuff, coolest vehicles, coolest play sets. As far as Transformers are concerned, they turned into the coolest vehicles.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you want a fighter jet or do you want a van?
Hey, now that van can hold a couple of boom boxes. You leave Ironhide alone.
Not very good with a headshot, though.
No. Well, one of the Decepticons was pretty good with a couple of headshots because them toys ain't got no heads.
Oh, boy. Yep, the old sticker faces.
I was so disappointed. I didn't need, after I got, like, I remember as a kid when I got Ironhide and Ratchet, I was like, my buddy Jonathan, I was like, here, you want these? Because I don't. It ain't got no head.
Yeah, because when you grew up, you were watching a cartoon, and when you got the figure, you're like, what the hell is this?
What the hell? Like, the vehicle modes were fine. It's just the robot modes that sucked.
Yeah, I remember posting the thing on my YouTube channel a long time ago. You know, your top 10 disappointing figures to get as a child. Mm-hmm. And the whole start of the video was, this video is based upon you as a child watching the cartoon and getting the figure.
Yep.
And the comment section was just blowing me up. Well, you know, Diaclone. I'm like, that's not the point. You are 9 years old, you don't know anything about Diaclone. Take that out of the equation. When I'm watching Transformers and I see Ratchet, and I'm like, I want that Ratchet toy, and then you get him. What the hell? Yeah. I don't care about Diaclone. When you're a kid, you want cartoon accuracy.
Yep.
You want what we're getting now.
Exactly. You know, 40 years later, we're finally to the point where they're like, maybe we should do cartoon accuracy after 40 years. What is or was your favorite toy vehicle or playset? So technically, Transformers doesn't count. Because toy vehicle to me is like the Battle Ram, right, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
I would have to say the original G.I. Joe Mobat tank.
That one is awesome. Yeah, that one is so
cool. I played with that so much because I remember the reverse and forward and reverse was the turret. You set your Joe in, you just slid that back and forth.
Yeah. What about a playset? Any specific playsets that you had that come to mind?
I never had a playset myself. I mean, my playset was the couch and the chair.
Yeah.
But my brother, he had some G.I. Joe sets. But the one that strikes me that was the most interactive and fun, he had Fort Carrium from Brave Star.
Oh, wow.
That was a pretty neat playset.
Yeah, that's awesome. I never got into Brave Star. I don't have any opinion of it either way, but it was just never something I ever got into. Did you and your friends or your family members, like your brother, ever pretend with your toys that you had? By this, I mean, like, I'm going to be this toy and you can be that toy. Like, Patriot Prime can be the Coke bottle and Mike Seibert can be the piece of glass kind of thing.
Oh, I had a younger brother and sister. We were always playing something, so I'm sure we were at some point.
Very cool, very cool. What features define a good toy to you? How true does the item feel in comparison to the source material likeness?
Anymore, yeah, I feel like it needs to look like its counterpart, its media counterpart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Coronation Starscream or the new, I just saw it in the store the other day. The new one that they released with Hot Rod, the newest reissue of whatever Starscream. Yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying, like, don't they call it, it's Generation Starscream or something. I don't remember what. There's some other title with it, I think.
It's like G1 reissue movie Starscream,
something like that, yeah. Speaking of packaging, what does toy packaging have to draw you in? So you're in the toy store or in the whatever store, and you see this toy, and this toy. What is it about the packaging that draws you to one over the other?
You know, I think it's really good when a toy actually has a plastic window where you can look through and actually see what you're buying other than freaking box art.
I generally agree with what you're saying, especially if it's the...
Now, I know we're on radio right now. I want you to listen to how glorious this sounds. That is a plastic window on a Masters of the Universe figure I just got.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tappity tap tap tap. And like I said,
here's me tapping a Transformer. It doesn't have one.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, yeah. I agree with, like, the Voyager stuff and things like that, but, like, stuff like Leader Class, I kind of understand why it's a closed box.
Like, Rodimus. That's even worse because you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Your figure could be damaged.
That's true.
I mean, be a box of Fruit Loops.
I don't have any cereal right now, but next time I go to the grocery store, I'm going to get a box of Fruit Loops, and I'm going to see if the Kingdom Rodimus box and the box of Fruit Loops are close to being the same size.
Did you happen to see the joke video I made where I opened up a box and it had Fruit Loops in it?
Yes. That was hilarious.
The comments on that, I can't believe you ate that cereal. I was like, I can't believe you thought this was real.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. People on the internet sometimes, it's happened to me several times, but like some people just don't get sarcasm of certain things and all that.
Oh, yeah.
Do you open your toys or do you leave them packaged? If you keep toys packaged, do you have any specific criteria for that?
I open them. Toys are meant to be played with. And hell, I can't review it if it's in the box.
Well, true. But like after you do the review, I mean, do you put it back in the box? Do you leave it on the shelf? You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
The box is gone. It's down to the recycling center.
There you go. That way you can't actually return it to the store if you have to.
Well, I make sure they're good beforehand. I mean, I'm very.
Absolutely.
I'll take them out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially now that little Timmy can reach in with these grubby fingers and mess with
those open windows. Oh, God. I hope Funko never does that. I don't think they will, but just no. And with the way that the Funko Pops are, there's no way they would remove the window because even if you strap it in, the window is too big. The figure is right there. No.
Well, and that window adds to the package's stability. I mean, you look at some of the Transform figures, you'll get them stacked. I've gotten quite a few in that are crushed already. The figure's fine, but the box is shot. Now, I'm not a mint and box collector, as we've already pointed out, but I could imagine those who are probably were really pissed when all this happened.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm sure this is a beat the dead horse topic.
Oh, well, it comes up with everybody because everybody has an opinion on it, you know, and that's fine. You know, I'm here to get the stories of my guests. That's all it is. Like, it's nothing more. It's nothing less. We're just here to have fun. And if we repeat ourselves, we repeat ourselves. I talk to myself and repeat myself all the damn time.
There you go.
So if as a kid or an adult, and I'm pretty sure I already know the answer to this, you were only allowed to choose one toy franchise to collect from, which one would it be and why?
It would probably be Transformers.
Uh-huh.
I love Transformers. Transformers are awesome.
Yeah.
I got a tattoo of a Transformer on my arm. You know, they're just cool.
I think you've told that story before, but tell it again, because my mind is a blank.
Which story?
The tattoo.
Oh. Well, 40th birthday rolls around. Wife and I are 6 months apart, so we decided to go get tattoos for our 40th birthday. She went and got this awesome-looking new school bird and flowers thing, and I thought, I want a Transformer. And I thought, I want Optimus Prime holding the American flag to show I was a U.S. soldier, I'm proud of my country, and I love Transformers. And boom, Patriot Prime was born.
Yep. Absolutely. That is awesome. So very, very awesome. As an adult, do you prefer vintage toys or modern toys?
I love the modern toys. You know, they're modern. They got the new, what do you call it? The engineering is just blows my mind sometimes. But nothing beats getting a hold of a vintage toy. That's like the other day. I finally got a vintage 1987 G1 Highbrow. Super simple figure, but man, I love that thing. I have messed with it more than the current one that's on my desk right now, Crankcase, who just came out in the new line. It's just the gimmicks work better with the older toys. And I don't know. It's that nostalgia thing too.
Yeah. I like that they try their best nowadays to throw in the classic gimmicks or the original gimmicks, but sometimes gimmicks on modern toys don't really work. Sometimes, not all the time, but
like the Masters of the Universe Origins line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing redos of those classic figures. And I just recently got a Mechaneck. Yeah. And if you remember the old Mechaneck, you twisted his waist and his neck popped up.
Yep.
Now you take his head off, pop on an additional extension piece. And there you go. There's no gimmick anymore.
Okay. I'm sorry, but that's just lazy. Like, come on. Like, oh, wow. That's lazy and crazy. What is – I really need to rewrite this question because everybody whose mind is usually in the gutter, it'll go right to the gutter. But
well, mine stays there, so I'll do that right now.
What is one toy you can always play with?
I don't know. One I always enjoy just pulling off the shelf and messing with is G1 Megatron because you will never see anything like that again.
Nope. Yeah, G1 Megatron is awesome. No orange cap, damn it.
Nope.
We don't need no stinking orange cap.
Orange caps are for hunters.
Yeah. Even though there are always toy lines that people never purchase, are there any that you specifically and purposefully avoid? This can be toy lines, characters, etc. So basically, you go into whatever store it is. You see Transformers. You see Masters of the Universe. You see Star Wars. You see Star Trek. You see whatever it is. Like, is there one thing or any kind of thing that you just don't even pay any attention to?
The Marvel Legends toys. And the reason being is I am a huge Marvel Comics fan. I grew up on Marvel Comics, yet I also know what type of toy collector I am. So if I buy one, it's going to open up a rabbit hole. Or you're jumping down a rabbit hole, rather.
Yeah, you're going to end up wanting them all. That's why I always go like specific characters. Like for me with toy collecting and even though my collection mostly is Funko, I have a few. I had to get the Jada Toys Nano Metal Fig, the mini figs, the die-cast ones for Transformers, the two series that they have out now. But most of my collection now is Funko Pops, and it's like I'm only keeping the characters I absolutely love and must have. Like I have just under 300 Funko Pops, and that's not even like most people that I know have over 500 or more. I know a guy in an Instagram chat group that I'm in. He has 2,700 of them, and I'm not just because it's Funko Pops, but like, how do you have 2,700 Funko? Like, how do you keep track? How do you keep track of the ones you actually enjoy? Like, you can't. And eventually, I'll have that person on the podcast to ask him all this. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I've got a few, but both my wife and kid collect them too. So Dylan's got a ton. He's probably got over 200, maybe.
Wow.
The wife, she has them scattered here at home and work.
Yeah.
And I mainly got, let's see, I've got the Transformer ones. Then they came out with V from the original series a few years ago. I got RoboCop, Weird Al Yankovic, Alice Cooper, and John McClane.
Which version of John?
The Walmart exclusive.
Oh, very cool, very cool. Yeah, that Weird Al pop is so good. I'm surprised they didn't come out with a new one now that his biopic is out on Roku TV.
I wish that needs to come on to something else because I want to stream it.
Really? You don't? Oh man, it's free to sign up for Roku.
Oh, really?
I think so. Yeah. Because I have I have a TV that has it on it. So, yeah, just.
Yeah. Have to look. I got a smart TV, but I haven't looked at the Roku offer.
Yeah, well. I'll
check that out after this.
Yeah, because that movie was pretty. Look, I can safely say this. I like Daniel Radcliffe in everything else he does other than a certain Wizarding World.
I couldn't say the first thing about that.
Right, exactly. Like, I know a little bit just because I know some people who really, really love it and whatever else. But when I tell this story all the time, this is a point of me repeating myself, audience. So, if you've heard this, fast forward if you want to. I had moved to Biloxi, Mississippi in December of 2000. And back then, it was all about finding like the local bookstore because I obviously love to read books. And I was reading John Grisham and a bunch of other stuff. And I asked the library, wow, the book. Thank you. Can't talk. I don't know why I've been podcasting for 15 years. I can't friggin' talk anymore. So I told the clerk what I liked, and she pointed me into two directions. She said, okay, well, here's this option, which is, you know, a boy wizard who goes on adventures and does all this stuff, or a former lingerie buyer turned bounty hunter. Now, can you guess which one I went with?
What the hell is that one?
So that series is done by Janet Ivanovich. It is the Stephanie Plum series. Stephanie Plum was the former lingerie buyer turned bounty hunter. She works for her cousin Vinny. And there's like, I think, 30 or so books in the series now.
Wow.
They did try to do a movie of the first book. It's called One for the Money, and it starred Momoa's in it. Jason Momoa's in it. And, what was the Heigl? Catherine Heigl? I forget. Yeah. It was okay. It was an okay adaptation of the first book, but it was never going to be any, like, that. You weren't going to see Two for the Dough or Three to Get Deadly, which is other titles of the books, sadly, because it didn't do that well. But it was interesting seeing the first book on the big screen. All right.
Derailed, didn't it?
Yeah, well, that's the way it usually goes around here. Train derailments happen all the time. Are there any toys in the past or currently that you wish you had not bought them? Are there any toys that you may have sold you regret letting them go?
Oh, a lot. I had the great Transformer purge of 2012.
Oh, wow.
Got rid of so much of my stuff. And then the next year I went to a Transformer convention, which really reinvigorated me to get back into this again. Toys, yeah. I regret buying. My big thing when I started YouTube about year three, I was just buying stuff to review. And then once I realized, I don't want this. That's a trap. I always tell people, you know, they're getting into this reviewing stuff, don't buy stuff just to review. Because then you end up spending way more money than you'll ever even think of making back. And then you're stuck with stuff that's just pointless.
Yeah, I'm an audio podcaster. I've always been an audio podcaster. I do have a YouTube channel. I've been producing content for my YouTube channel since 2009, but I don't do, like, I'm not, and you're going to laugh when I say this, I'm not a Patriot Prime. I'm not a this person or a that person or I just, you know, if I feel like I have so many like things like that I want to do for the YouTube channel. And I'm just like, no, I'll just do it as a podcast. It's fine. I don't care.
I have people ask me, says, are you going to review such and such figure? I'm like, no.
Well, no.
Because I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because I don't want it, and I'm not paying for stuff that I don't want.
Yeah.
Exactly. How large or small is your toy collection? Do your toys take up the whole house, or are they relegated to one room, shelf, or something like that?
They're pretty much regulated to one room. I've got a few knickknacks here and there in some of the other rooms. In our TV room, I've got some of the Transformer statues, and we just made a home arcade, so some of my vintage things are going to go down there because we're doing an 80s theme.
Nice. That's awesome.
But most everything's here. Now, I do have a few things at work, just a little extra knickknacks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to, you know, when you have, are you still, you're not still in the military, are you?
No.
Okay. You know, when you have a day job, it's like you need something there at your, like, one of the reasons why my desk has all the nanometal figs is I'm only usually at my desk to do the podcast stuff, whether it's editing or whatever else. And it's like, you just have to make it your own. You just have to make it homey because, you know, you're at work and whatever else, and you don't want to just stare at a gray wall.
Exactly.
How do you keep track of your collection if you do?
I just walk in here and say, okay, here they are. What's funny is my wife came in here one day and she bumped into a shelf, knocked down a couple of figures, put them back, and she was shocked that I was able to come in. And I went, "Hey, where's the gun to such?" Yeah.
That's because we know these things. Like, you know, if you're a fan of the character, if you're a fan of the figure, if you're a fan of whatever it is, like, you know what's supposed. Like, wait a minute, Starscream's null ray is not supposed to be in Soundwave's chest. Not that it could fit in his chest. Even
why does he turn to the left?
Yeah, exactly. Like, turn to the left. Don't turn him to the left. Yikes. So how do you display your toys? Now, I've seen your toy room, and I know how you display it, but I want you to explain this to the audience of how, what your mindset is into displaying the toys the way you do.
I have them all displayed on various shelves, and I always display the bad guys separately from the good guys.
Okay. Very cool, very cool.
And some cases, like the giant Titan figures, I actually have a shelf displayed where I have the newer modern version, and they have the 1980 Generation 1 version in front of it.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm waiting. As of this recording, I'm still waiting on, and I only pre-ordered it because I thought I just want a mini cassette. I just want a mini cassette player. I pre-ordered the core Sound Blaster figure that's either already out or coming out from Big Bad Toy Store. So I'm waiting for that to come in because
already came out at least via Amazon or no?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking. BBTS is always a little behind in the releases, and that's I don't care. It's fine. But yeah, I saw that and I was like, "Ooh, little black and purple cassette deck. I love that already." So everybody is safe: the wife, the kids, the pets, the whatever you have in your house. But your house is on fire. Everybody's got to get out. You can only keep one toy from your entire collection. What would it be and why?
MP01 Optimus Prime. My wife bought that one for me when I was deployed to Iraq. I used it for my mascot for Patriot Prime Reviews for a long time. And that one has a lot of meaning for me.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, yeah. Those MP primes are great. I wish I had, and I know this is just silly, but I wish I had the MP04 because that's the one that comes with the trailer. All right, folks. Well, that's 20 questions. We're going to take a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We're going to come back to finish up with Patriot Prime for the next the next X number of questions, and we'll be right back right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at TransmissionsPodcast.com.
Autobots, roll! All right, we are back here on ToyCast with Patriot Prime, a.k.a. Jason. And for the opposite side of the coin from the last question, here's the Toy Box Challenge. Now, I assume this is inches. So you get one 18 by 18 by 18 box The only toys you can keep have to fit in the box. What can you pack into it?
I can get a ton of my Generation 1 figures in that box.
That's awesome. Are you a Funko fan?
They're all right. like we said earlier, I got the Transformer ones. It's pretty cool sometimes to see figures of things from, you know, back in the day. You never thought you'd see a figure before. Like I said earlier, I've got a Diana from the miniseries V, 1983, with her face peeled off, the lizard section showing through. What the hell? That was never a toy. So
yeah.
Cool, yeah. I got that.
Yeah, that's why I like Funko, is most of the time they make figures that you would never see in every other line. And then they also obviously do all the, you know, the mainstays like DC and Marvel and Star Wars and all that stuff. The Transformers ones, man, people don't talk about the they don't talk about those. Like, I know you've talked about them. I know a couple of guys on the Transmissions podcast. Like, I know several people that have talked about them, but Funko creators on YouTube and other places that I've seen and heard, and like, nobody's talking about the Transformers ones, and most of them are so good. And now Funko, with whatever license that they have with Hasbro, they're all behind the damn NFT wall, and I'm just like, damn, why would you put Hot Rod behind an NFT? Oh,
I think I've got them all, including some of the variants.
Really? Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Yeah, you'll have to send me a picture of all those, because I've seen most of them, but I don't know.
Let's see, I've got Optimus Prime, Target exclusive Optimus Prime, GameStop Optimus Prime, Megatron, GameStop Megatron, Jazz, Target Starscream, Soundwave, GameStop Soundwave, Bumblebee, exclusive Grimlock, exclusive Shockwave, exclusive Trax.
Yep.
Let's see, and then I got the big ones of Soundwave, Optimus, and Unicron.
Yep. Yeah, that Unicron, I tell people, because of the way the license is, that they're going, the Funko is going off the toy designs. I'm like, $40 is much better than spending $600 and trying to figure out where the hell you're going to put a giant ball in your apartment or your house or whatever. So, yeah. Speaking of all that good stuff, what was the most money you spent on a toy?
Well, as I said earlier, we started building a home arcade. Mm-hmm. And I really don't want to go into prices of those. Most expensive Transformer I bought, I've got this beautiful third-party Transmetal 2 Dragon Megatron. He's around $300.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
What's funny is I'll buy those figures, and I never transform.
No. I got to find the news story on TFW 2005 or something. I think it was last year, or it might have been one of the conventions. They had at the convention this Dragon Megatron that was like sprawled out like how he was when they were returning to Cybertron. But it was this really awesome, huge ass statue. And I'm like, oh, if I had the money, if they were selling that, I want that so bad. I got to go back and look and see what that was, because
this one easily, I have his wings spread out on the display and the wingspan's over 2 feet.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Eat your heart out, Fort Max.
Yeah, I got him too. Oh, wait, that's my most expensive one.
Fort Max? Really?
Yeah. I think he was around 350. It was the reissue.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. So on the flip side of that, what was the cheapest toy you bought, or what was the best deal you ever got for a toy?
There was one time I was at our local grocery store. Mm-hmm. It's about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got a Jeep. Everybody recognizes my Jeep. And all of a sudden, I see this kid, probably 9 or 10 years old, come running up to me, waving. And so I roll the window down. I said, "Hey, how are you?" And he says, "My dad says you like these things." Reaches in, hands me something, and runs off. And I'm like, "What the hell?" And I look down. It's this kind of a teal green box. And I thought he handed me some gum. And it was actually a Generation 1 Squawk Talk.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
Out of the blue. And it took me a couple of days later. I found out it was a guy I went to school with, found it somewhere, and just happened to have it in his car and saw me in the parking lot.
That's awesome. That's great when moments like that happen. Too bad the guy the guy you went to school with didn't stick around, but that's cool. That's an awesome story. What modern and or vintage toy lines are you collecting right now?
Now Transformers and Masters of the Universe Origins.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, that Origins line is quite popular these days.
I was collecting NECA, but I was stuck. I have all the Terminator NECA, all the Friday the 13th NECA, and a few of the Predators and Aliens.
Yeah, I don't do the horror stuff. Like, if I was going to do NECA stuff, it would be whatever they're doing with their turtle stuff.
That's all they're doing, it seems to be. Their gargoyles, but that's a line. With their wingspan, there's no way you can put them on a shelf.
Yeah, there's no way. Absolutely not. Got to keep them in stone. Do you visit toy shows or conventions? When you visit these places, do you have a typical methodology? Do you bring a certain amount of money for what you're searching for, etc.?
I don't go a lot, but we make it a point to go to TFCon, and that's usually no set amount of money. We mainly just go to hang out.
Yeah.
It's cool meeting fellow YouTubers and fans, and ever since I started doing this, it is surreal when people come up to me and want to talk to me.
You are pretty awesome, so
yeah. Oh, thank you. I try.
What do you think it is about our generation that causes our childhood toys to mean so much more to us than, say, for instance, our parents' generation?
Well, have you seen their toys?
I know, right? Everybody says that.
We grew up in the best era of toys, man. It can't be beat.
I mean, toys had been around for years and years, like you're saying with, have you seen that, your parents and your grand. I mean, toys had been around, but the 80s really just.
Well, the 80s, you had the cool toy line, and then you had the animated series pretty much for every toy line that really fleshed out the figures. So they weren't just toys. They were characters.
Yeah. Yeah, the 80s was all about the characters, and it was all about characters that have stuck with us for the past 40 years. I said this, I forget if I said it on a future episode or a past episode of the show. I still consider myself a 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old because I'm still playing with toys, but, I'm still doing adult things at the same time. But, I didn't have a lot of my toys, in my teen years or my, 20s and 30s, and then I started getting stuff back around my 30th birthday or whatever the hell it was, and I'm like, oh, this is cool. I remember this, and now it's just like, it's like Toys R Us. You never grow up. What is your motivation for purchasing toys? To display, play, fiddle, describe your collecting style. Are you a completionist, storyteller, or cherry picker, or otherwise?
Pretty much a completionist. Mine's like twofold because I want to add it to my collection. And it's also, if it's something I want to get and add to the collection, I want to show it off on YouTube. And that's pretty much it. And then, of course, with the Master Universe stuff, I don't show those off on YouTube. I just get those for the pure enjoyment of it. And a lot of them are still in the packaging because I don't have found a place to display them all yet.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Have you ever purchased a toy for a child with the ulterior motive of playing with it yourself?
Of course, I have a kid.
Oh, boy. Have you ever purchased a vintage toy for a child because you thought it would be great for them based on your own preferences?
Yes. And he didn't like it, and it's sitting in my room here somewhere.
He liked it, but it's sitting in your room.
Yeah. Oh, he's all about Nintendo Switch now. He don't give a damn about toys.
Oh, jeez. Do you do any toy modifications or customs, painting, building dioramas, that kind of stuff?
Let's talk for a moment about toyhacks.com.
That's right. This episode is not sponsored by toyhacks.com.
So, you
can talk about them. As long as it's not going to affect your whatever, no, you can.
Not at all. Everybody knows I'm the Toy Hacks guy. So
okay.
I love buying figures with Toy Hacks. And that way, because I'm not great like some of these guys where they'll cut and trim and paint. I like Toy Hacks because, I can change the looks of the figure. And then if I don't like it, I just peel it off and it's right back the way it was.
Yeah, very cool, very cool. Do you think toy companies should specifically have adult collector toys, child toys, or find a way to mix both?
I think they're mixing both. I mean, if you saw that report a few months ago, they're already saying that us adults are buying more toys for ourselves than the kids are.
Yep.
And you go down, just say, my Walmart aisle from a couple days ago. I walked down that aisle, and you can see, like, all the Transformers Legacy figures. They're pretty much all Wave 1 still. They can't stay in stock. Yeah. Master of the Universe stuff, it's out of stock. Yet you'll see tons of modern Batman and tons of Power Rangers and all these other dumb kitty toys that nobody buys. It's always the vintage stuff. The 80s brands are ones sold out.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a my parents got rid of my toys story?
No, but my dumbass traded all my collection back in the day for a Nintendo.
Oh boy. Yeah, I made an incorrect choice back in 1989 or 90, whenever the one Christmas, this because I remember this specifically, it was right before, it was literally a couple years before the Super Nintendo came out. My mom took me to, at the time, it was a local toy store to Massachusetts called Child World. And Child World had Nintendo Entertainment System and they had Sega Master System. Let's just say I chose poorly. Sega Master System with Reggie Jackson Baseball and Alex Kidd in The Lost Stars. Oh, God, shoot me now. Yeah, it was not. Yeah, no, not at all. Do you feel you are coming to an end of your active collecting? If so, what has signified this phase for you? Was there ever a moment when you were done with what you just said, actually? Done with toys and selling the collection and all that stuff.
Not all at all. I still find too much enjoyment in it. I still enjoy the thrill of the hunt, even though I never find anything. But, man, it's awesome when you just run into something every now and then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I'm 43 now. For the last few years, I've kind of been over the hunt. I just want to buy what I want. Like, I don't want to have to go into whatever store it is. And if I find it, I find it. If I don't, I don't. But if I go into a store and there's like five of us there and it's like, there's four toys. Okay. Well, somebody's not getting something. It's like, what the hell?
Oh, that's where the advantage of being 6'4" and 250 come into play.
Yeah. Absolutely. What is something that does not have a toy of it you'd love to have in toy form?
Huh. That's a good one. Shit, almost everything's got toy now.
Yep.
I don't know. Oh.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, is there...
I think, though, I mentioned earlier, I'm a big V fan from the original series with the lizards, alien lizards. That would be a killer toy line, especially with all these figures now that have interchangeable heads and body parts. You could have visitor soldiers, you know, you can take their face off, stuff like that. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool.
They had the toys in the miniseries. There was a kid playing with the toys, but they never actually made the toys. They only made one figure. It was about the size of a Barbie doll. You could pull his head off, and he had the lizard face underneath.
Oh, jeez.
I got one.
I'm sure you did.
Not did. I'm looking at it right now.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. That's hilarious. What is a toy that you'd love to have scaled up and functional for the real world?
Ugh. I could go for a kit. Well, that's not a toy. Never mind. That's not a toy.
We could all go for a kit.
Toy. I don't know. I'm sitting here looking around the office. What would be cool in real life? I guess, hell, a Transformer. It'd be nice to have your own Transformer.
Yep. A self-driving, self-transforming, Peter Cullen-voiced Optimus Prime that is an actual truck, not just something that you need like 70 square feet of space to have. Ugh, Robosyn. God. That thing, man, just, I don't know what it is about that thing. I just can't. I love the fact that it's got his voice. I love what the voice clips that it plays, but just, ugh, God. crazy.
Well, it's one of those things too. I'm spending, you know, you spend $700 on that, and then all of a sudden the gimmick wears off, and then you're just boned.
Yep, pretty much. Yeah, exactly. How has your wife dealt with your collection?
She's cool with it. She collects stuff too.
Very cool. Very cool.
We always have tons of Amazon packages waiting at the house. Well, who got what this time?
That's hilarious. Toy collecting can have its struggles. What is one aspect you tend to struggle with the most?
Shelf space.
Yeah, pretty much. Do you rotate them in and out sometimes, like your favorites versus your non-favorites? Do you ever change up the display, or do you just have them all there?
Usually change up the display, everything but my G1s. I have my G1s specifically laid out, and they're just, you know, you've seen me in the videos. Mm-hmm. They're organized. So I don't like to mess with them too much.
Yeah, absolutely. What is one positive and or one negative memory you have with buying toys?
Well, positive, like I said, when you're out, I guess when I went into my first vintage toy store, I about lost my shit. Because, you know, you just hadn't seen stuff like that in years. I just think that was a very positive experience because everybody behind the counter was knowledgeable and they interacted very well with you. And that was a good time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. If you could create any toy, what would you want to create at all? So basically Hasbro gives you the keys to the kingdom. You have an infinitesimal amount of money. What would you want to make?
I would love to make a series of 80s television show vehicle line with figures, like Airwolf with Stringfellow Hawk, the A-Team van with the A-Team, Knight Rider with, you know,
Kit Michael and Michael. Knight. Yep.
Nighthawk with whoever was at that.
Yeah. Magnum P.I. and his Ferrari, or exactly. Higgins's Ferrari. Yeah, no, that would be great. That would be awesome. That would be so cool.
The Mad Max line.
Yep.
With Max and the Humongous. And
yep, that would be hilarious. That would be amazing. What is the one piece of advice you would give the toy collecting fandom?
Know your limits. Don't try to get everything. I mean, I was at that point for a while. I was collecting everything. I mean, it was just, that looks cool. I was getting it. If it was a movie-based figure, something vintage, it was just nonstop. Now I'm pretty much stuck myself. I'm Transformers, Masters of the Universe, and that's about it. And I don't go veering off. When I say collect Transformers, I don't do all the lines. I used to do like the legacy line is like the remakes of vintage figures stuff. Then you had the studio series, which was the movie figures. And then you had like the Cyberverse, which is the kids stuff. And I just strictly stick to kind of like the legacy line.
Right. Yeah. All right. Finally, what is advice you'd give to kids who enjoy toys?
Never stop playing. You can grow up, but just never lose your imagination.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, this has been so fun, sir, and I cannot believe that this is the shortest episode of these Origins that I have ever done. I have never gotten one of these. Every time I like try to promote this or try to sell in quotes for people to come on the show, I'm like, normally it's about 3 hours to record these things and blah, blah, blah. Wow, this is a record.
I am a professional.
Well, we're all professionals. It's just sometimes we talk more than we should. All right, we're going to go to another quick ad break. You're probably going to hear some sort of Patriot Prime ad or something like that. And we're going to come back to close the show right after this.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Patriot Prime here. I am a huge Generation 1 Transformers fan and Army Combat vet. I also have my own YouTube channel, Patriot Prime Reviews, Facebook page, Patriot Prime Reviews, and Instagram page, also known as Patriot Prime Reviews. On my channel, I like to review Generation 1 Transformers, modern Transformers, the occasional third-party Transformer, and I am proud to announce that I am sponsored by ToyHacks.com, so you can always check my channel out for the newest ToyHacks decal reviews. Once again, that is Patriot Prime Reviews on YouTube.
Autobots, roll out, perhaps for the last time.
We are back here on ToyCast, episode 173 with Patriot Prime. Any final thoughts from you, sir? Anything else you want to talk about? Anything?
I think it pretty much, we covered it all.
Absolutely. You can check him out on his YouTube channel. The link will be in the show notes on our website, geekcastradio.com. So thank you for joining us here on ToyCast. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. As I just mentioned, visit our website. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on most of the podcatching clients out there, Apple, Google, Spotify, etc. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network. I am not at TF ToyCast, but TF ToyCast is for the show. I am at TFG1 Mike, and you are, what is your Twitter, sir?
Patriot Prime 73, I think.
I think that's what it is. It'll be in the show notes, folks. Don't worry about it. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. And you can also check out ToyCast over there as well as Patriot Prime Reviews. Again, all links will be in the show.
Come on, man.
All links will be in the show notes. Next time on ToyCast, I have no idea what's happening for episode 174. I think we may do a display case. I'm not sure. And most people listening to the sound of my voice know what a display case is. You may not. Basically, it's what everyone on YouTube does, except in audio form. So basically, I will, like right now, I have, let's see. Oh, this is perfect. I have the Jet Judo twins. I have Sideswipe and Sunstreaker for those nano metal figs I mentioned. So basically, I just take a look at the nano metal fig. Okay, he's got his yellow sun, you know, egotistical, like, oh, my good looks. The only thing Sideswipe doesn't have is he doesn't come with a jetpack on his back. But yeah, no, very cool. I love these nano metal fig things. They're so cool.
I haven't taken them out yet. I've got both sets in the box still.
Yeah, I've got the second set still in the box. And when I went to Walmart the other day, I saw a bunch of, like I mentioned earlier, the Coronation Starscreams, and then the new Starscream, and then like right next to it, I'm like, holy crap! There's like seven boxes of Series 2, and I'm like, wow, that's cool. But I already have one. I haven't opened Series. Series 1 was hard to get out of the box. I don't know what Jada Toys did to keep those I didn't break any of it. It's die-cast construction. It's a lost art. I mean, come on. But, like, some of them was like you had to get it at a certain angle to make sure you popped it out, right? It was weird. So, yeah, I'm not opening that second set just yet. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Patriot Prime Reviews.
Join us next time, and we'll be talking more toys here on ToyCast.
I'd say Decepticons are in the neighborhood.
I sure hope so. Me and Windcharger got a score to settle.
Welcome to the club. Let's get 'em.